Radio 4. The time is 7 o'clock, and now Saturday Night Theatre.
Driving mad, this rain, didn't it, Cass?
Yeah. All this rain's round across the glen.
Do you reckon we'll get some action tonight?
Depends how well the paddies are tooled up. Know what, Leroy? Funny, but that's my wife's favourite song.
Kathleen?
Yeah. She was named after it.
Your missus' name is Cat Lane.
Cat Lane's same as Kathleen, isn't it, Brain?
Is it?
Oh. Yeah, we're going to call the baby Cat Lane.
What, even if it's a boy?
No. No, if it's a boy, it'll be called Leroy.
After me?
No, you whelk. After me old dad. His name was Leroy and all.
Oh, yeah.
Roger. Off the truck, lads. Come on. Come on.
Here we go again.
Watch them fade away and die.
A Memory Longer Than Death by John Naismith.
Fifteen-two, 15-4, and one for his mouth.
Lucky bastard.
Well, it's dark out there, boys. Darkness, Jack. Holy mother of God, Duck. Have you not any better records than your old man's crap?
I do not, really. This is a real Irish song.
And what's that supposed to mean? Jesus Christ!
Get the fucking light out.
Walk out with your hands on your heads.
With Tony Osoba, Lee Montague, Tony Doyle, and Hetty Baines.
Me, you pair of English nutbusters.
Doc, how was we supposed to know you play for both sides? We're not clairvoyants.
I'll get you, Cassidy. Someday, I will get you. And you, Leroy, even if I get 30 years behind the wire. I will get you.
A Memory Longer Than Death.
Come on, you bunch of harags. Get up. Wake up. Come on. Come on. Well, 10 seconds and out of it, or you're all going to get an early morning bath. Come on, come on.
I'll tell you what. I never dreamed I'd wind up at 31, kipping under the arches down Deadbeat City. Anyone else, yeah. But not me. Not Billy Cassidy. Not Cass, the Daily Thompson lookalike. But I'll tell you something, right? Let no man reckon it can't happen to him. There are a lot of lean, dark streets leading to Deadbeat City, and anyone can walk down there. Doc Quinn blamed me and Leroy for his capture that wet night in Crossmaglen. Because we'd been his mates, see? boozed with a man. Played snooker and darts with him in the UDR clubs. Rated him a great guy. How was we to know that, as well as being a UDR sergeant, Doc Quinn was also an officer in the 1st Battalion of the Provisional IRA? We were as gutted as he was when we dragged him out of that farmhouse. But he threatened us. And that threat was no counterfeit. The car bomb got my lovely Irish wife, Kathleen, and our baby. Down the Woodstock Road on a Saturday afternoon. The biggest wreath delivered to the funeral parlour had words and silver glitter strung across it. Fond memories, Doc. I started to come apart. The medics stuffed me with pills, then tossed me out, unfit. Leroy still had a few months to serve. I didn't get to say goodbye. I returned to London. I'd nowhere to go and no one to go to. I walked down second-rate streets and slept on third-rate pavements. My nights were sleepless and my days were nightmares. Then, a November AM, down by the river.
Hey, down there!
You talking to me, mate?
Yeah! Of course I am.
What do you want?
How you going, Cass?
Am I supposed to know you?
Of course you know me. Here, Fred. But none of you don't smoke, do you, Cass? Oh, I saw you earlier, Prowl, under the arch. I thought, nah, he can't be old Billy Cassidy. Then I cop for you walking along the embankment. Oh, Steen. Remember?
Steen.
Corporal Steen of the Catering Corps, King of the Curry Makers. You and old Leroy Stone used to love my curries, right? Well, bugger me and all, Cass, mate. You look like you could do with a plate of vindaloo right now.
Do I?
What's happened to you? I mean, you was the smartest guy in two para.
Nothing happened to me, Steen. Got me.
Oh, sure, ain't it? Oh, listen, Cass, if you need a few quid...
Piss off.
Okay. That's what you want, okay. Yeah, I saw Leroy Stone a month or so back. He asked me if I'd seen
him. I said, piss off.
And yeah, he's in the phone book.
Leroy Stone.
Hello, Leroy.
Who's that?
Me.
Yes, so who's me?
Billy Cassidy.
Cass! Man, hey, where you been?
Around.
Around? What the hell do you mean around? I've been asking about you all over the shop. Old places, old faces.
Yesterday's a long time ago, mate.
What are we doing talking on the blower anyway? Look, come on over, man. Have a bevy and a bunny.
Don't know whereabouts you are, do I?
Greenwich. Top of Croom's Hill. Cranston House, okay?
To say that I was knocked back when I first caught Cranston House is a very serious understatement. Like a man with his nose on fire saying you can smell burning. The Cranston is a fine Georgian mansion overlooking Blackheath. Wooded gardens, white statues, high railings and wrought iron gates. A blue roller lounges in the drive. Either Leroy's having a pop at me, or he's the butler hereabouts. Half an hour and three large scotches later, I'm sitting on a Regency sofa in a room bunged up with oil paintings and fine antiques. Leroy stands in front of this magnificent Adam fireplace. He's wearing a cream suit and a red silk tie. with a Waterford crystal tumbler in one hand and a king-size Havana in the other, he's a dead ringer for Frank Bruno on an off night, sipping the delights of high society.
You've had it right hard, ain't you, pal?
I've survived.
Still torturing for your wife?
What do you think?
Sure.
You have a regular lady at the moment?
Nope.
Who's the chick in the photo, then?
Hmm?
A silver frame. Why not Joanna?
Oh, it's just a friend, Linda.
Linda?
Linda Pierce. Runs a gaming club over Deptford way.
Nice, isn't she?
Yeah. That's it, Cass. Get us a tune.
Some days.
Maybe I am. Anyway, it's my problem, eh?
Come on, Chaz, I'm not having a pop at you. It's Leroy, remember?
I remember. Listen, Leroy, I don't want to pry, pal, but well, I'm curious. You know what I mean?
Oh, the amazing rise from poverty to a cotton of wealth and property.
Yeah,
well, went into business the week I came out of the mob, didn't I?
What, flagging banks?
Leave it out, Chaz. A bit subtler than bank ice. No, I deal in gold, fine antiques, cream gear. Kicked off at a country house auction down the West Country, didn't I? I bought 2 tea chests of spelter figures. They stood me in 3,500 sobs. I did no more. Stuck them in Christie's.
Doubled you a dosh, I suppose.
A bit more than that, mate. They made me 92 longhams.
92 grand?
In my life! I've never looked back from that moment. Another bevy?
Oh, no, thanks.
Anyway, cares me, old son. Now we're back in touch, I'm going to put you right in. Job, cash, a flat, a motor. How about Porsche?
What do you think I am, Leroy? A ponce?
Leave it out, Kez. I'm not having a dig at ya. I've got bundles, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm right out of order. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
Kez. Me and you, eh? Us. I think the word of you, bruv. Kez and Leroy. We bought our respect shoulder to shoulder, didn't we, mate?
Yeah, we could throw bricks at the bogeys and fight with the best of all them other snotty nosed kids down Langford Road. Yeah, I remember.
I'll tell you something, Cass, shall I tell you something, right, eh?
Go on then, tell me.
You can have anything. Anything you want. 5 grand, 10.
Leave it alone, Lee.
Anything.
Shut up, for God's sake, eh? I'm on the deck, Leroy. You don't have to grind me face in it.
Yes!
What I need, I'll get myself. Okay.
You right, that chair's big enough to hold the Michigan fat man, Dawn.
You must weigh 30 stone, eh, Linda?
And the rest.
What would be a good game of poker, though, gal?
Willie Dennison, fat man, and the Dutchman. Nice few grand floating about.
Nice little earner for me. And it might even get Arlo some glim on the world poker scene, and that can't be bad.
Sounds like a blower in the flat, Lynn.
Yeah, just sort out the bar, Tom. And then that's it till tomorrow, love.
Yeah, right, Olaf.
The European Community over the milk process imposed following discussions with European agriculture ministers.
Harlow's Club, Linda Pierce speaking. I
told you never to get in touch with me, didn't I? So just leave me out, eh?
Police in Marbella are holding a Briton, Joseph Joe Boy Byrne, a scrap metal merchant from South London. Mr. Byrne is wanted for interview by Inspector Eric Jago of Scotland Yard's Serious Crime Squad in connection with the £12 million diamond robbery at Hatton Garden in August.
We got him, Sarge!
They got him, Mr. Jago.
Oh?
I got the body out of the river.
Yeah. His bleeding head's been chopped off.
Okay, Freddy, coming.
No reason for rushing, Sergeant Vaughan. Body can't go far without head. Patience, the Bobby's friend.
Yes, sir.
Just let me hear the last few bars of Sousa. And then we will traverse the quay in a slow and orderly fashion and inspect what is left of that misfortunate call.
Gruesome sight, eh, Inspector?
I've seen worse. I'd say it's a dot in the card. He comes from Brixton, Lewisham, Peckham, that general area.
How'd you work that out, Gunn?
Intuition, coupled with my incredible powers of observation, Quorn. How do you think I achieved the rank of Detective Inspector, eh?
I haven't a clue, Guff.
Well, use your noddle. Even though his bonce is missing and the water's turned him a shade of grey, I can clearly discern that the victim was, is, well, depending on your religious beliefs, a black man.
Yeah, but isn't that a bit of a sweeping statement, Inspector? I mean, the poor sod might have come from Putney, or Richmond, Newcastle, Southend, Ecclefechan, or the continent of Africa, for that matter.
Statistics, Quorn.
Aye?
Oh, you have a lot to learn, young man. What's that man think he's doing over there?
Being Uncle Mick by the looks of it.
On duty? What kind of loony left graduates are we getting in the Met these days?
Yeah, well, I reckon seeing the cadaver's given him a bit of a shock, Inspector.
Shock? One bloody corpse? you ought to have been in the Rillington Place murders. All them poor ladies of the night trussed up like sides of pork in Christie's kitchen cupboard. Oh, he'd have known what shock was all about then.
Yeah.
Well, buck your ideas up, sonny. Hold your nose or something. Do you hear me? What's your problem anyway?
The back.
Oh. What's he on about, Sergeant Quorn?
In here, Gav. Oh.
Pull yourself together, Sergeant. For Pete's sake, haven't you never witnessed a severed head before?
I copped for the news of Leroy's murder on a nightlife bulletin. Was Doc Quinn stretching his influence beyond the wire of Lonkesh as promised? If so, then I was next on the list. Well, maybe not now. Maybe not even next year. But sometime. Doc Quinn had a memory longer than death itself, and there was no way he would just go and forget me. I got to wondering about Leroy's lifestyle. All that gelt and fancy furniture. That mansion in Greenwich. Leroy never got hold of that lot, just wheeling and dealing. He had to be involved in something very empty, something big. Did Doc Quinn kill Leroy Stone? Or was it a gangland murder? Anyway, one evening, several weeks after Leroy's murder, I'm in a saloon bar at the Five Bells over Peckham Way, when I caught this old guy clocking me. His face looks like it's been run over by a 10-wheel truck.
Excuse me, my son. You're Doggy Cassidy's boy, ain't you?
Leroy Cassidy's son. So what?
What, Cocker? So what? Me and Darkie Cassidy was closer than Laura and Hardy. Here, me and Darkie used to graft the race courses together. Here, with Billy Hill's team. Of course. You found some Baker, right? You got it in one, my son. The Clark Cable of the Balls Pond Road.
Clark Cable?
Yes.
Now he's dead, eh?
Well, when I had my hair and teeth, sort of. Well,
oh, yes.
Just after the war.
First, second, all war, eh?
Oh, shut up. Anyway, what's you having, Cocker?
That's my bitch.
Hold up.
Here comes the bogies.
Oh, Fonzo.
Mr. Jago, Sergeant Quark.
Boys, don't suppose you've seen anything of any of Joe Boy Burns' evil friends knocking around, have you, Fonzo?
Who's Joe Boy Burns, Mr. Jago?
The fellow rented one of your flats for 2 years.
Ah, yes, that Joe Boy Burns, Mr. Jago.
Yeah, that Joe Boy Burns. Flagged a security van in Hatton Garden for 12 million. Or do you no longer read the Times?
Has there been yet another 12 million diamond robbery, Inspector?
No, Bronzo, I'm talking about the diamond flag.
Ah, the one what happened 11 weeks and 2 days ago. So you ain't sold that case yet, Mr. J.
Be brief with the funnies, Bronzo, or I might wind up giving you a slap.
You'd have to slap me first, mate.
Who the bloody hell do you think you are, sonny?
Cassidy. Billy Cassidy.
Cassidy? Oh, I thought there was something horribly familiar about that sunburned boat race. Cassidy. Yeah, of course. Darky Cassidy's boy.
Yeah, it's the right likeness, isn't it, Mr. Jago? So old Darky will never be dead while young Billy's alive, that's for sure.
Shut up, Bonzo. You, Cassidy. If you're going to dwell about this manner, then do not so much as stick a card up a donkey's nose. Because I'll be watching you.
Come on. Niall.
You want to keep well out of that copper's way, boy?
Hey, don't worry me.
He will, mate. Stand on me. Years ago, Inspector Jago was engaged to a little cracker called Joan Pritchard.
You're joking.
No, I ain't, Cass. Your dad nicked the delicious Miss Pritchard away from Jago. And as you well know, that lady become your mum.
I never knew nothing about that.
No, of course you didn't. Well, nothing your old mum wanted to boast about, was it?
You're telling me that Jago's still got the needle? All these years on?
His spleen is a legend south of the river. Inspector Jago's hatred for females goes right down to his foundations.
Well, pleased he didn't marry me, Mum. Yeah. Blimey. I might have hairs growing out of me nose and a wonky eye, just like him, eh?
Yeah. Same again, Luce, darling.
Anyway, so what are you doing these days, eh? I heard you was a professional soldier. Bit of an hero in the Falklands, right?
Yeah, a bit of a threadbare hero, mate. Oh, I'm out, isn't I?
No more you ain't. I have got a nice little drum down the road. I let it out in rooms, don't I? Nice little top room. Yours for a score a week.
Potless, innit?
Well, go down to social.
Do me a favour.
Here, what about the Joanna? Now, you was very tasty at the George Shearing's.
Maybe the Las Vegas Sands Hotel will give me a regular booking, eh?
Well, if they ain't got a vacancy, there's one going here at the Bells.
Been looking for you.
Shoe cash. Blimey, I thought I was getting my collar felt. Well, I didn't expect to have you come sorting me out. Not after you give me the elbow the other week.
Can't you talk about Leroy Stone?
Yeah, well, I don't want to get involved.
What do you know about it, Steve?
Nothing.
And what you so scared about?
The old Bill's been very busy this last week or so, Cash. I mean, there's a whisper that Leroy was in on the Hatton Garden plan. I mean, look, I don't mind a bit of third division feeling, really, but Diamond Blag's murder, you know, Joe Boy Burn.
Terrifies you, eh, Steen?
Totally.
Well, at least you're honest.
No, I'm not. I'm selfish. I want to survive.
Okay, Steen, but one thing. Do you know a lady called Linda Pierce?
Linda Pierce?
That name worries you and all, does it? Just tell me where I can find her.
Well, she runs a club called Arlo's.
Where?
Bottom of Turpin Road. Deadford.
Tegan, what did you give me for a score, huh? Pete Johnson butters Curtis in the fifth.
Threes. Oh. You're wanted upstairs, mate. Yeah, all right. Urgent.
Hello, Deacon.
Doc. They told me you was arriving tomorrow.
I never arrive tomorrow if I can arrive today.
Scotch?
Irish.
Ever the patriot, eh, Doc? Well, there's no trickle R or kneecap jobs on this one. It's a quick in and out. You do what you've been sprung to do. Deal with the Dutchman. Nothing else.
Who says so?
I do. I might have an English accent, Doc, but I'm pure Irish all the way back to Brian Boru.
You're a cockney chancer. A credit card terrorist. You stink of English money.
Money ain't got a nationality, mate.
English money has.
Listen, old man. Everything's different now. The wild colonial boy is dead. The game is different. The players are different. And topping it all, the stakes are different.
Not to me. It's always Ireland with me.
Don't be a prat. I can't big with the organisation, Doc. Do you know why? Money. Money makes bombs. Right now, I've got a bag of diamonds with a knockout value of around 2 million quid. I didn't get me dabs on that by drinking Jameson's and chanting the mountains of Mourne down some Kilburn pub.
Didn't you now?
No.
2 million bloody quid.
Or, from an ancient patriot's point of view, a consignment of Kalashnikovs and Armalites steaming out of Liberia.
And that's my deal with the Dutchman.
You're not as stupid as you look, Doc.
No.
Well, help yourself to what you want. A hot bath, feel free. It's all down to Larkins. But don't put a foot outside this flat till I give you the wire. Right?
The room at Bonzo's was warm and comfortable. I wound up as a piano man at the Five Bells. It turned out to be a nice little earner. Provided finance for playing stud. First week out, I won a 2 grand pot with a pile of nines over a spear in Camden called The Last Card. Oh, I felt like Mr. Bundles. I'm on Phillips Fake and drinking 12-year malt. I'm working out every day down a gym in Camberwell. I'm beginning to live again. Jago was doing his best to fit me up with something. No, nothing too heavy. Armed robbery, murder. I took Bonzo's advice and kept stum. It was all over that Doc Quinn had gone on the trot. Did he kill Leroy? Well, I had to find out what I could about Leroy's friends. For starters, the lady in the photo on Leroy's Joanna, Linda Pierce.
Do you want a lager, Gov?
We're on duty, Paul.
Two teas, please, mate.
You're quite a snooker player, aren't I, Paul?
Yeah, watch out, Steve Davis. Yeah, McAllister reckons there's a buzz going around that Doc Quinn's bust out is part of something big.
Yeah, Parkhurst Prison. Did you know that Quinn was in the army alongside Leroy Stone and Cassidy?
No, Gov.
Well, he was. Think about it, Sergeant. Pretend you've got the brains of a detective inspector.
That'd take a lot of doing, Gov.
Deduce, Quorn. Joe Boyd Byrne and his firm pulled the biggest diamond robbery in British criminal history. Soon after the Hatton Garden job, Leroy Stone is beheaded, and soon after that, the obnoxious Cassidy appears on the manor like a genie out of a lamp. Then What? Quinn busts out of jail and is rumoured to be within the city.
Well, yeah, but he...
We also know that Leroy was on Joe Boy's firm. And had been since he came out of the Paris. So surely it doesn't tax even Detective Sergeant's brain to work out that Cassidy's involved up to his ears.
Well, in what?
In a major criminal conspiracy. In murder. In robbery. God knows what. Cassidy's a villain, Quorn. Born for it.
Oh, I've got to say it, cuz. You've got it right in for Cassidy.
He's a bad one, Quorn. Like his father before him. Like his mother, rest in peace.
We... You knew his mother?
Yeah, I knew all right. She was a space between my heartbeats, was Joan Pritchard. Engaged, we was, on May the 6th, 1955. And on May the 7th, along comes Darky Cassidy with his Irish eyes and his West Indian calypsos, and she was gone, along with 5 years of courtship.
Blimey.
Yeah, I never obtained carnal knowledge of my Joan, you know, Corn. Respect, see. All that sort of thing was put by as a wedding night bonus. Became an investment in which all my interest was lost. To this day, Sergeant, I celebrate celibacy. Women.
Come on, look lively, Corn. We've got work to do.
Leroy's murder stuck in my brain.
Nagged away.
Especially in the cold light of the mornings. Leroy's killing made me realise how vulnerable I was. And how all of us walk hand in hand with death. Finally, I decided to find Harlow's and have a chat with a woman in the silver-framed photo which had stood on Leroy's piano. I picked up a cheap Granada down the Wandsworth Bridge car auctions. I crossed the river and drove through the maze of South London streets. The headlights hacked tunnels through the spattering rain, and within half an hour, I was driving through an area of ravaged shop fronts where human faces turned into my lights. Startled. Frightened. Like animals at bay. This was the ragged-arsed flip side of the glittering metropolis. This was purgatory where bright dreams had died and kids grew old before they was ever young.
Yeah? Linda?
Yes?
Phone. All right. All right. Who is it?
Please.
Bit heavy,
Mr.
Jellicoe?
Hello, Tom. Sergeant
Corn. I told you not to keep phoning me up, didn't I? Just leave me alone.
Trouble, Miss Spears?
What do you want?
What's all that about, Tom?
Kinky caller. Gets it all the time. Right, I've got work to do.
I want some information, madam.
This is a nightclub, Jago, not an interrogation centre.
Now, come, come, madam. You're not being very cooperative.
And you're not being very polite.
Oh, now, madam,
and don't keep maddening me, right?
It's no secret, Ms. Pierce, that Joe Boyd Byrne has been arrested by the Spanish police.
What's that got to do with me?
Well, might it not be advisable, Ms. Pierce, to tell me all you know regarding the friends and acquaintances of the aforesaid Joe Boyd Byrne?
All I know?
Yeah. Ah, come, come, dear lady. That villain used his club regularly, did he not? Prior to his sudden disappearance after the notorious Hatton Garden jewellery blag?
He was a good customer, yes.
Oh, I suggest he was more than that, Miss Pierce.
What?
I suggest he was...
Don't say no more, Jago, you chauvinistic pig.
I'm
a businesswoman, Inspector. Totally legit. I don't need your innuendos nor this harassment.
I understand,
I don't want to listen to you no more. Got it? John!
Yelly?
Show Inspector Jago and Sergeant Fawn the way out.
I
feel like you'll go quietly, Inspector.
I'll be back, madam. I'll be back!
I'll have that woman.
I reckon a phone tap would be a very useful start, Gov.
Do you really, Paul?
I found the gap I was looking for. End of a cul-de-sac. A Victorian Baptist church, once as grim as the terraces which hunched around it, now drunkenly festooned with coloured lights. The word Harlow's winked and beckoned in bright red neon, like a hall in a graveyard. I shut down the engine and climbed out. Two big men in soft daps and regulation raincoats came towards me.
Oh, just look who it ain't, the golden boy.
You're blocking me path, Jacob.
Dear, dear. Where are you going, Cassidy?
Church.
I don't like you, Cassidy.
I'm not exactly in love with you, Jaco. But that's not an indictable offence, is it?
Do you come here often, Cassidy?
Only on tango nights. Now, are you going to let me pass, arrest me, or call a policeman?
I know you're involved in this diamond blag somewhere, Cassidy.
Oh, yeah.
And in the murder of Leroy Stone.
Finished.
And I promise you this, sonny. I will capture you, bang to rights!
I went up three stone steps and through a pair of Art Deco doors into the club. There were two rough-headed, mean-faced bouncers in bow ties and monkey suits hovering inside. The walls in the foyer was covered with movie stills of Gene Harlow. At a white reception desk, an elderly blonde, dressed 25 years younger than she should be, sat hard-eyed and scarlet-lipped. A year's membership set me back 50 sobs. I didn't argue. I'd get that back. Inside, the club was laced with low-life ladies in high-life dresses and hard-faced men in handmade shoes. It smelt sweetly sweaty, like a fat stripper in cheap perfume. A blonde stood next to a blackjack table.
Linda Pierce?
Yeah.
Hello. Name's Billy Cassidy. Any chance of raining in a game of stud tonight?
Got a grand in your bin?
Sure.
Okay. Follow me, Mr. Cassidy.
Cass.
That man to bet.
It was a great game of stud with a nice few grand up for grabs. There was four of us playing. Me, the Michigan fat man, a black guy called Willie, and a big blonde animal with mean eyes they called the Dutchman.
Fat man folds. Your bet, Dutch. Two big aces.
Oh, 1,000, huh? Well, there's five.
Hmm. Pair of bullets showing. Jack of Arts dealt. No improvement.
That's a...
Three queens showing. You to bet, Cass.
Raise five.
Three queens bets $2,000. Oh. Queen of spades. Four ladies showing. Your bet, Dutch.
They're cheating.
I beg your pardon.
I said you are a cheat.
Watch your mouth, mate.
The Dutchman comes on like a Neanderthal man on angel dust. I'll smack him in the teeth with a glass ashtray, follow up with a nut, and give him a chair across the ear for dessert.
Don?
Yeah?
Look up for us.
Okay, Liz.
Oh, and Dom?
Yeah?
The Dutchman is barred. Permanent. Got me?
Yeah. See you in a moment, then, Liz.
I've got some Java percolating. Fancy a cup?
Nice drum you got here, Linda.
Oh, thanks, Liz.
So, where's the bedroom?
Through there. Tired, are you?
Leave off.
I asked you up for a coffee, darling.
Yeah, we can have a coffee after.
After what?
Don't miss me. Let's say I've been at sea a long time, eh?
So what do you think I am, sailor? A hammock?
Oh, come on, girl. I mean, you asked me up here.
You've been watching too much telly, love. Tuck your libido away and sit down. Now, what do you want for breakfast?
Well, obviously not the feast I expected.
Eggs, bacon and fried bread.
What, with bubbling black pudding?
Do you know something, Kev?
What's that?
The minute I clapped eyes on you, I liked you. And the way you handled that gorilla downstairs, well...
Yeah, didn't get me far, did it?
Journey's only just started, honey.
You mean I can climb aboard after, Bretty?
Oh, you're such a romantic, Cassidy.
Sorry I took you for a scrubber girl.
Don't worry about it, most blokes do. Dom and Lilla Deptford, that's the first impression. All bust and Estee Lauder.
Do you like roses?
Hmm.
I'll send you one every day till we say goodbye. Oi, watch it!
Hey?
Bleeding grub's on fire!
Oh, my God! Do you like cornflakes, love? You married, Kev?
What?
Divorced?
Nah, she's killed in a car accident.
You can't half march on, can't you?
I want to take care of myself.
You're a pro fighter, then?
No, I was a para. Belfast. Learned a lot about dirty fighting.
I was born in the Ardoin.
You wasn't?
Honest! Well, came to London when I was hardly five. My man brought us over after she divorced the old man. Used to bash her about, didn't he?
Divorced? I thought there was strong Catholic round the Ardoin.
Oh, yeah, we were Catholics, all right. Of course, Mum weren't divorced in the eyes of the Pope. Lived in everlasting sin with a bus driver from Chatham. Little Ginger Piers. Mind, she was happy with him for 30 years. Both dead now.
You ever been back to Belfast?
Yeah. Went on a package tour of the Forth Road, didn't I?
How well do you know Leroy Stone, Linda?
Leroy?
I copped for your photo on his baby grand. That's why I came to Harlow's.
You're a copper, aren't you?
Do me a favour.
On Jago's team, is that it?
Come on, be fair. You can spot a cop when you see one.
Oh, yeah, of course. But why all this about Leroy?
Had a special bond, girl. Grew up together down at Sands End, didn't we? The only two black kids in the neighbourhood. We survived. Joined the Paris together. Went through the Falklands together. Now someone's killed him. And I want to find out who and why.
Any ideas?
A guy called Quinn. Doc Quinn.
Doc Quinn?
You know him?
Oh, no. According to the papers, he's a right nutter, isn't he?
Yeah.
How'd you get involved with him?
He stuck it on me and Leroy way back.
What for?
Reasons.
Smash your fella, Leroy. We had loads of chats over drinks. He wanted more. I didn't. I'm not into deep relationships no more. He used to come to Arlo's two or three nights a week. Often he'd bring this guy Steam with him.
Ronnie Steen? Tall thin fellow with a big ooter.
That's right.
Oh, using a cape with Leroy and me.
Steen and Leroy used to play blackjack. Sometimes Joe Boy Burner joined him.
Joe Boy Byrne? What, he's in Hatton Garden, Black?
Yeah. Then 6 months ago, another guy starts to come in quite regular with Leroy's team. Right flash monkey called Deegan. Promotes backstreet fights over North London, all diamond rings and cap teeth. I couldn't stand the man. I knew Leroy didn't like him either.
Huh?
I was right. Leroy started bickering with Deegan, jibbing. Got worse each time they came. One night, there was a right ruck. Not much, a few right-handers. Don sorted it out. Deegan stormed out with a busted lip with steam on his coattails. Leroy stayed behind.
Wonder what that was all in aid of. Oh,
bit of villainy, maybe. Anyway, Leroy left here at 12:30. Next thing I hear, the cops had pulled him out the river. Tell you what, though, Cass. There was a short odds favourite on who killed Leroy Stone. My loot would be on Deegan.
So where do I find him?
Try Ronnie Steen.
Best English tomatoes! Here you are, best English!
Excuse me, mate.
Yes, Gus?
Do you know a guy called Steen?
Never heard of him, Gus.
Here you are, best Tom's all English!
That's a bit of fly pitching down here.
I said I never heard of him, didn't I? Mister, you looking for Ronnie Steen?
Yeah, that's right, kid.
I know where he lives.
Oi, Kevin, you little toe rag. Keep your trap shut. Where?
Give us 10 quid and I'll tell you.
Kevin!
Quick, Gav. 2 quid.
Go on then, there you are, go on.
Sir, 22 Che Guevara Buildings. Dan Breton Crescent. So long.
I'll brain you when I come out of you, Kevin. You know, grass.
$18,000, $19,000, $20,000
And it all fits into a carrier bag. Jeez. That'll buy plenty of armalites, Deegan.
Armalites.
So, now, I give the money to Steen, and he gives me the diamonds.
Very good.
Then I pass the diamonds to the Dutchman, and he completes the deal.
Pure genius. My, those boys across the water certainly trust you, Sunshine.
They know I'm a patriot.
Yeah, suppose they do. They know you're bleeding thick and all.
So long, sucker. If you're just one of those things, just one.
Who's that? That you, O'Hara?
I thought you might be cold.
No.
So I put both bars on.
I went looking for Steen in Brecon Crescent. I parked a Granada and walked through an area which seemed more select than the general vicinity. In this neighbourhood, only half the windows in the run-down terraces were broken or boarded up. I came to a patch of dead grass stuck with grimy plastic flowers. A sign above a small shed said, Jubilee Gardens, tourist information. An old timer, with half a dozen hairs arranged greasily across his bald head, and a length of nickel elastic gripping his specs to his bonds, was studying the morning star.
Good afternoon. Comrade, could you direct me to the Che Guevara buildings?
They're very popular, them buildings, are, comrade. Very. You're the second bloke today what's asked me where they are.
Got the money, Doc?
In here.
Yeah, well, you better give it to me now.
You little...
No!
Dad!
You shouldn't pull a gun if you haven't got the guts to use it, you slimy little rat.
But the Deacon, mate, be honest.
Why?
So we gave the money and the diamonds.
Deacon, turning the provos over. Did he expect you to kill me? Hey!
Yes! Then burn you.
Me? You are gonna burn me?
He's taken. Get rid of your body. It's not me. He's taken. He's in it. Tell the provost. She'd had it away with a lot.
Stop groveling. It's Deacon I want. Cooperate with me and you'll be okay.
Anything.
Where's the diamonds?
It's the whole chest.
Get them. Shut up. Beautiful. How did a weasel like you get hold of this lot?
I nicked them, didn't I?
Where did you borrow their guts?
There was Leroy Stone's share of the Act Garden job. He's my mate, see? Showed me them over his house. I knew they was worth enough.
He trust you?
Yeah. I done no more. I got straight on to Deacon, didn't I? By anything bent, Deacon. So the deal was set up. Leroy soon tumbled it was me and Deacon what joined him over. And he started getting naughty. So Deacon done him.
Deacon will think you've turned him over this time.
Huh?
Unless I truss you up to a chair. Stick a gag in your mouth. Use your brain, Steen. When Deacon turns up to have a share out, you can say I overpowered you and shut off with the cash and the glitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Doc. Yeah. Doc. I tried that, Doc. Should have made it real authentic, didn't you?
How's that?
Yeah, it's lovely. Perfect.
Admire your enthusiasm, Steen. Now open your gob. Huh? Oh. Wide. How's that feel? Going to burn me, were you? I'm going to burn old Doc. Feeling sick, Steen? Will I burn you, Steen? Here, by here. Will it be another way I'll find? Oh, quite a do-it-yourself, funny enough, Steen. Ah, here's the answer to our problems. No, that's all right. Well, let's play number 8. A lot of people wonder why I'm called Doc. I always wanted to be a brain surgeon.
You got here then, mister?
Right.
I'm the kid from the market. Told you where my Uncle Ronnie lived.
Oh, yeah. How you going, boy?
Terrific.
Where's number 22 then?
What?
You okay, boy?
Yeah, reckon that nut was trying to kill us.
Me. Now then, come on. Where's 22?
D block. Round the back, next to the railway line. You can't miss it. It's the one that's on fire.
I was more than lucky Doc Quinn hadn't flattened me. That car missed me and the kid by an heartbeat. Thick black smoke poured through the half-opened window of number 22. I had no doubts. Steen was inside. I shoved through the jabbering onlookers and busted down the front door. The city was blazing, fanned to greater fury by the tunnel of air I'd created. There wasn't much time. Steen was sitting in the middle of the room. He was tied to a chair, his head down, hunched forward through the smoke and the heat. His chest and legs were soaked in blood. Gently, I lifted his head. Both his eyes were gone. I had it on my toes.
Well, Gorn, the council flat gets torched and Ronald Henry Steen's corpse is found inside, securely bound to a chair. Couldn't be construed an accident or suicide.
Brilliant.
Roger. Yes, Constable.
Got a kid here, sir. Reckons he's got some information.
Information? What information, lad?
Well, now the killer is, Gav.
I was bang in trouble. Steen dead. His flat, a crematorium, and my dad's all over his front door. And somewhere, Doc Quinn was raging about the city like death on board his pale horse, looking for me. Jago? Oh, I could almost see his evil grin as he counted how many centuries he could stick me away for. Oh, it was on the right no-win double. I headed for Arlo's and Linda Pierce. There was an unmarked Rover parked at the end of the cul-de-sac leading to the club. The two bored mugs snoozing in it didn't need to advertise. Cops. A heavy mob. I kept moving.
I'm convinced they make up the names of some of those racehorses. Thank you, chaps. 6 minutes past four, next user.
Did you hear that, Lynn?
Hmm?
News report. There's a warrant out for Billy Cassidy.
Carlos? Look, I... No, you can't. No!
Here are the starting prices for the portrait. First, number four, white bag, two. Second, number one, crash tuber, five to one. And third, number two,
red rose tree. Hello, Dutch. Aye. Picked any winners? You carrying? Yes. Then I picked a winner. Let me look.
As soon as you make the phone call, tell your firm the deal is done.
Right chuffed, ain't you, Gav?
Of course.
Do you really reckon you've got enough on Cassidy to nick him?
Enough? Quorn? I've got witnesses who swear Cassidy was looking for Steen. The kid's evidence is corroborated by another dozen who saw Cassidy forcibly enter Steen's flat and leave at speed. I've got him banged to rights.
Yeah, when you find him.
There's no place for him to scuttle to. I'll call and recall him every shady place he's been known to frequent. I'll turn over every squeaking crook and every shabby hole in South London if needs be.
You're going to make the call, Dutch?
When I've seen what's in the parcel.
Don't you trust me, Dutch? After all the deals we've done together?
There's a lot at stake here. I must insist on seeing the diamonds before I close the deal.
Okay, my friend. Satisfied?
Magnificent.
Hurry up, then. We don't want to get mugged. Well, Bonzo hasn't seen him, nor has the governor.
Well, we've got the lads watching every place he might appear.
He can't run far.
Is it on?
Yeah.
The boys will get the arms tonight.
The boats will rendezvous at 4 a.m. Now, Doc. The diamonds.
For this instead. And just a wee twist of the blade. To let the air in. Bye-bye, me old Dutch.
I had it away from the Che Guevara buildings a bit lively. I got the news over me car radio. Jago had fingered me officially. I knew the cops would be looking for my Granada, so I left it in an old lock-up over Lewisham and made my way over Blackheath and down the hill past Leroy's mansion to Deptford. I had to talk with Linda. There was a different cop car at the end of Arlo's cul-de-sac. The two hard cases were lounging inside. I snuck around the back to a disused railway siding. I climbed the corrugated fence which split the siding from the club and crept up the rear fire escape.
It will be forever that I'm never fall in love. La na 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 na. Oh, I'm so worried.
Jago's trying to put me in a frame for us of crimes in London.
I'll take care of you, love. He won't find you.
And you better answer it then, girl.
I suppose so.
The victim's name was Jan Malibek, Gov.
The Dutchman?
Yep. Stuck up the gut with a 10-inch chiv. They found a small gemstone of superior quality beside the corpse, established as part of the Hatton Garden Hall.
Well, Paul, do you see now what I mean about this animal, Cassidy?
Well, not entirely, Gov.
The man is a crazed, merciless killer. Obviously involved in a Hatton Garden job along with his victims, Leroy Stone, Deegan, Ronald Steen, and that known fencer Dutchman. His bloodlust is raging. If we don't capture this lunatic soon, nobody in this metropolis will be safe.
Oscar Tango, Oscar Tango.
Oscar Tango receiving, over.
Linda Pierce has got a meeting. Hackney Stadium, pronto. Over.
Message received, over and out. The phone tap's drawn dividends, Gov. Seems Linda Pierce has arranged a date with a man friend.
Linda told me she had a meet with a phono at Hackney Stadium. Bit of biz. No problem. She insisted that I stay locked in her room until she got back. She said there was no trouble, but her eyes held a different story. She went. I didn't hang about. I dodged the cops and jumped the cab. I knew I couldn't stay running for long. If Jago didn't claim me within the next few days, I'd turn myself in and hope that justice would give bigotry a toe up the jacksie. I loved Linda. I knew that for sure. Catelyn's memory would always stay somewhere in my heart. But life is for living. Eh?
does. Dad?
Over here, Linda.
Hello. Angel.
Don't give me any old flannel, Dad. Just tell me what you want.
Your help.
Obviously. You didn't get me here out of fatherly love, did you?
Let's forget the past, Linda.
What do you want?
Me and you to be together.
Leave off.
We can make something special of our lives, Linda.
You had that chance when I was little.
I've got money, Linda.
How many lives does it add up to, Dad?
More money than the legs of us could ever imagine. Diamonds.
How much blood? How much happiness?
Help me, daughter. Just take care of this glitter. You can do that. Turn it into cash. You've got the connections.
Oh, sorry.
You can help me with a new identity. Get me to South America, Africa, somewhere.
I don't want any part of it.
And set us up, Linda. You can follow later. You'll be an empress.
I don't know who you've turned over, but if the boys are involved, there's not a crack in this world small enough for you to hide in.
Linda.
I'm going, Dad. I don't want ever to see you or hear from you again.
We can live in luxury, girl. We'll have millions. These diamonds are real. They're real. They'll pay for freedom.
The freedom only a funeral can give you.
You just can't walk away from your blood and flesh father, Linda. I can't let you do that.
Cheerio! Doc!
Your mother's hooter. Come back here! Come back!
Linda!
You bastard! Come back, you poxy coward queen! Get the fuzzing beans on!
There he is, on the far roof by the cranes. There's two of them.
Come out into the light, Doc. If you've got the guts. Ah, can put you out in the dark, Cassidy. You're a dead man, Cassidy. A dead man.
Why don't you get the JCB started?
Gotcha! All the rest of you out of the way! The dumper will get us.
Here they are, Cap.
Are they? Dead?
You will be, you English pig.
Shut up, Quinn. Suppose I'm next for a boot in the chops, eh, Jager? Followed by a fit up. Why, you.
Jago was gutted
when he realised he didn't have so much as a parking ticket to slap on me. Mind if Quorn hadn't been around, I reckon Jago would have handed me a shroud. He hated me so much. The slug Linda's loving daddy threw at her put her in hospital for a while, but she recovered well. The doc's day will be a bit longer in high security. Funny thing life, innit? A year ago, there was me in the gutter. Skint. Miserable. Loveless. Losing 65-0 at half-time. Then, wallop. I start knocking him in again. Me and Linda wind up getting married. She gives me twin boys. The insurance ups 10% reward on the diamonds Linda recovered. 10 for 2 million. Can't be bad, eh? Me and the family are moving to España. The Costa Brava. We bought a casino, see? We're going to call it Leroy's. An epitaph to the best friend I ever had.
In A Memory Longer Than Death by John Naismith, Billy Cassidy was played by Tony Osoba. Lee Montague played Detective Inspector Jago. Tony Doyle was Doc Quinn. And Linda Pierce was played by Hetty Baines. Sergeant Quorn, Kim Wall. Steen, Anthony Jackson. Deegan, Brian Hewlett. And Bonzo Baker, Manning Wilson. The Dutchman was Carl Deering. Kevin, Chris Pitt. And Don, David Goodland. Other parts were played by Stephen Harold, Stephen Hattersley, and members of the company. The play was directed by A.J. Quinn.